Hello, this is Kenya Podcast Preacher. Welcome back to my podcast, Deep Water. This podcast is brought to you by Applied Strengths Ministry, where we believe working together in our strengths is the effect of working out the will and calling of God in and through our lives. The title of this message is Over the Limit. Well, so this is a fishing story of stories. Yes, that is based on the fact that even though I caught it and placed it in my freezer, it still got away. Yep, it is the one that got away story. Yeah, but now it didn't break the line as there was no fight left in it. It was in my freezer. So now, but how it got away is less of a concern than why it got away. And but I say that this can happen to anyone regardless of fishing skill level. Because this fishing story can be applied to anything that we do that God disapproves of. Yes, and at some point in your Christian maturity, God is going to stop letting you off the hook, so to speak. So growing as a Christian means that you will know when you are about to disappoint God. And in that, in doing so, you will get an alien reaction. Yep, you will always be presented with a way out. But as us humans go, we often overlook the way out and head towards the door of temptation to get what we want. James 1:13-15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. But first we must see how it is that we get into trouble. We are drawn away by our own desires. Now, but how is it, as I try and apply this to my fishing situation, was I drawn away? I mean, what was I thinking in this situation whereby I was willing to compromise my position as a Christian in front of other non-believers who actually didn't want to keep that last fish? Well, we were first headed for trouble when we caught our limit and didn't just go home. I mean, we were hopeful of catching a bigger fish and then releasing it. And that is exactly what happened, except the releasing part. Now, can we get an amen and a hallelujah for this next scripture? 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, my thought, if I am just using my life as an example, is that the way out is through my advocate, 1 John 2:1. Now, but then I cannot be sure that this is what 1 Corinthians 10:13 is talking about. You see, it says, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But then it goes on. Now, this is the part that adds some difficulty because I struggle to find a way of escape. And then when I do find it, it is equally as difficult to escape. And when I choose not to escape, then it is also difficult to bear it. And I must think that the bear it part is the part where we are condemned. 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Anyway, so, and here is what he says about those moments when he deals with our disobedience. Hebrews 12:5-11. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have a human father who corrects us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seems best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So if he does not permit it, and we would choose to ignore or just can't see the way out, then he helps us by giving us a God spanking. Now, but backwards as it may seem, now we get to the story journey that led to the escape of my last fish. So I try and get out to fish for striped bass at least once a year, so that I can enjoy both catching of some of the hard fighters, but also with the promise that I can perhaps get a big one. These fish are known for heading into the 60-pound and bigger mark. So my thought is that it would be fun to catch one of these. Now I go with a friend and a guide that he knows. Without a boat, it's difficult to catch the bigger fish. Now the limit is 2 fish per licensed fisherman. And so when you catch the smaller fish, which also have to be at least 18 inches in length, you have to make the decision as to either keep it or wait for the chance that you might catch a bigger fish. Once you hit 2 fish, bing, bing, bing. All other go back in the river. Now, if you have a live well, which is an onboard fish tank with air and all, this is intended to keep the fish alive for 2 reasons that I know of. One is to keep the fish fresher, given you may be on the river, lake, or ocean for quite some time. The other is so that you can work up to keeping the bigger fish, thus throwing back the smaller ones. Now, with some fish, smaller ones taste better, but they don't look as good on the wall. Some peeps just catch the bigger fish so as to get them mounted for display. All and regardless, we didn't. We had a dead well which works like this. You catch the fish, all decide if they want to keep the fish, and if so, you thump the fish so that it doesn't find its way back in the river, or to keep it from hopping all over the boat. This, of course, prevents the latter effect whereby if you catch a bigger fish later in the day, but already have your limit, back goes the bigger fish. Well, so we decided to fish even though we had had our boat limit, and yes, you know it, we hooked into a bigger fish. And yes, it was on the end of my pole. The test. Dun, dun, dun. Now you know by the lengthy explanation what I was supposed to do, right? But wow, it was a bigger fish, which meant more fish to eat. And well, but here it is, where I told all as we wrestled with the quandary, even though we should never have wrestled with it at all. I said, well, you guys decide if we should keep it. And the guys decided to keep the fish and go home. Well, the only good news is that we are going home, because I didn't want to end up catching an even bigger one, and having to make that decision again. Now, the risk is that the guide could have lost his license, and have been unable to act as a guide anymore. It was, and is, his livelihood. But in this moment, I was willing to take the risk, and I'm not sure why. A little history. I almost never went over my limit when I was younger. And I only say almost, because even though I cannot remember a time when I did, I want to leave some room for forgetfulness. So now after being a Christian for nearly 26 years, why would this have been an issue for me? I mean, in my own personal fishing life, it would not have been a question. Back the fish would have gone, even before I was born again. What was happening here in this moment that I was so willing for this guy to pay the price for losing his license? I just don't know, other than it was God testing me to see what I would do. I mean, for real, the guide told us the limit before we left, and we all agreed that we were in agreement and understood the limit. And yet when the decision came upon us, I acquiesced with the devil and brought the fish home with a curse. What? Yep, sin opens up the door to curses, and that is what I was willing to do. You see, how could I hope that God would overlook such a thing? And but now keep in mind, I didn't see the final results of what happened or why it happened until recently. I think I was just musing about that story, and it dropped into my spirit, and I saw the totality of the thing, months later, but I did see it, and that's where this message is coming from. So I took my fish home, cleaned all of them, put them in the freezer and the refrigerator, and started feasting upon my fish. Now in this season, I was also getting ready to go to Southern California, and but though just before I left, I noticed one morning that the freezer wasn't working. Now my wife was in Sacramento for a time, so I called her and let her know that the refrigerator had stopped working. And after doing a few things to see if we could revive it, it was determined that it was dead. Now guess what was in the freezer, aside from all the other frozen things that had been in the freezer for months and months? Yep, the remainder of my striper. So was it random or coincidental? Nope, all things can be explained from a God perspective. But again, I did not put two and two together until about 4 months later. God was showing me something about breaking the law. Something so simple as catching more fish than what was legally permitted. Now, I felt a little conviction when I was trying to keep it, or rather when I was trying to decide whether or not to keep it. I even thought about throwing one of the others back if they were still alive. But in our case, we would always knock them in the head, so that was risky business. Nope, I lost the fish because God was telling me something, which is that he was not okay with me keeping the fish, even though everybody else had approved of it. It was me that was held accountable, and that's how it should have been. This little act didn't please him, and I didn't see it initially. But now I do want to please him in all that I do. But now I know he has outlined a method for our behavior so that we can indeed please him. And now what does this say to the unbelievers that were in the boat? I lost all credibility as a Christian. They all knew that I was. In fact, I was now one of those Christians by name only and not by deed. Not for my whole life, that for this fishing trip, I lost my Christian credibility. In truth, it would have been gross to try to witness from this position. So guess what? I won't be doing it anymore. Not because I don't want to break the law, and not because there's not enough fish to go around. But I won't be doing it anymore because I know that it displeases my Father. God is not happy when we do those kind of things. Even when, and especially when, no one's looking. I mean, when I got the fish home, I kind of got away with it, right? Nope. The truth is, I don't want to hurt His heart, and though it is a little thing, as compared to all things, it for me was revelation that God is always watching me and has expectations that I will grow and mature spiritually, and in doing so, will line up with more of His word, deviating from it less and less. So now, in order to help you, ask yourself if there are any weird events that may have occurred in your life that are not random, but that perhaps God is speaking to you. A stapler or pens from work, food from the shelf that you did not pay for, money from the till when you thought no one was looking. Look at this next statistic. According to the Center for Retail Research, North American retailers lose up to $45 billion worth of money due to inventory shrinkage yearly. That article was written August 29, 2022. You can see more of it on sonitrolde.com, sonitrolde.com. Now, not all of this is from theft, but much of it is. And that's a lot of thefting. So the moral of this fishing tale is simply this. Someone is always watching, and regardless of how small the infraction, God still has a say in the matter, and will, if necessary, chasten or discipline us so that we grow. In our case, we rent, so the owner bought us a new refrigerator freezer, all of which was orchestrated by God. Though the grace of God, even when He corrects us, He is still such a great God, and I'm thankful that I didn't have to drop $1,000 on a new refrigerator freezer. Well, that's it for today. Remember, it's not what you find wrong or disagree with regarding these messages, but what you can take away from it. Together we can do more to impact the kingdom than if we work alone. Let's flip the script and kill, steal, and destroy the works of the enemy and create space for the light of life to shine through into people's lives. Plant a seed and click on the like and subscribe button. Let's build this ministry together. Thanks and see you next time in Deep Waters.